That's considered a luxury. Here it's an expectation. Do we go out? Fine dining? That's fine. That's great. It's an awesome date if you can afford it. Don't put it on a credit card. We'll get to that. Now, you can put it on a credit card, but you got to pay the credit card off that month. Remember Greg Garcia a couple of weeks ago, for those who are here? If you buy that nice $50 meal on your credit card and make the minimum payments from now till, you'll have paid for that meal in 29 years. You'll have paid about, $150, $200 for that $50 meal. So, what's the point? There's another tier of eating out. There's the fast food. That only costs two or three times what it would cost at home. Most people are not doing a whole lot of their food preparation at home. Now, again, this is not a critique of anyone. I'm not a great cook, okay? But, you know, when you're microwaving a prepared meal, you're spending about double what it would cost to prepare that meal yourself. Now, why does that matter? Well, frankly, if that's well within your budget, it doesn't matter. But it probably does matter for a lot of us. So, that's my rant. Okay, participation. How much money do I need in the bank so that I feel rich? How much? $10,000. Feel rich if that's in the account, right? How much do I need? Millions, billions, okay. How much money do I need to earn annually to feel rich? I think the answer is about twice whatever I make for pretty much everybody, right? In some cases, it might be three times what you make. Okay? The reality is, remember Greg Garcia again, I'll quote him a little bit for those who missed his class Saturday weeks back. But he pointed out, I mean, his clients are mostly very wealthy people. At the least, they're reasonably well off because they're paying a tax accountant, a tax lawyer to help them balance their books, right? His clients, says not one of them, has ever admitted to feeling rich. Some of these are multimillionaires, okay? Because we don't feel rich because we're constantly selling out to the idea of what the society around us is telling us we need to achieve. Got a song for you here. I threatened to sing it, so I'm going to sing it. I'll just sing one verse. There are five of you out there who know this. Who knows Ray Stevens? You remember Ray Stevens? The Streak? Yeah, okay. I'm not singing The Streak. But there's a great song, though, and I love this song. And it goes something like this, and I say something like this, because there's a reason I don't sing solos at church. I just sing group stuff. But it says, would he wear a pinky ring? Would he drive a fancy car? Would his wife wear furs and diamonds? Would his dressing room have a star? If he came back tomorrow, there's something I would like to know. Would Jesus wear a Rolex on his television show? There's a reason Ray Stevens has a career singing and I don't. Okay, this is a $40 Elgin, just in case you're wondering. Okay, now, the reality is, we as a church are dangerously close all the time, and maybe over the line, sold out to consumerism. We set our standards for what we ought to live like, how our lives should be, how we should decorate our homes, how we should, what kind of cars we should drive, based on what? Neighbors a little bit. You know the big culprit? Television. 3-year-olds. 3-year-olds like food better if it comes in a McDonald's box. Same food. 3-year-olds. Don't tell me that advertising isn't affecting you. We are sold out to this society over and over again. All the real police CSI groups are sitting there laughing at the TV set while Horatio, CSI Miami, for those who aren't fans, is driving his Hummer all over Miami and taking on 2 cases per episode. You know, I bet that's a whole lot easier and a whole lot better equipment than the real CSIs have out there. We set our standards based on a fake world that we see on television. and we're sold out to it. We're all trying to imitate. We're not even keeping up with the Joneses anymore. We're trying to keep up with the TV Joneses. And that's not real. But we're pulling out the credit cards and trying to buy that reality. If we can be distinctive, I think it'll help what Richard was talking about half an hour ago. If we're distinctive, we can become attractive. If we cannot be dealing with debt, if we cannot be sold out to the consumerism of the world, maybe our message will get heard better. At the very least, I do know one thing. You'll sleep better at the end of the month. So, yeah, this does have some Bible in it, so we're going to get there. First, what is the purpose of credit? Audience participation here. Emergencies? Debt? So the man can hold you down under his thumb. That really is why the banks do it. They want you to owe money. Why do they keep mailing me more checks for my Discover card? I mean, hello. You can borrow money. Well, I don't have any need to borrow money. Anyway, credit is what you use to buy stuff you can't afford. That's what credit is. Now, admittedly, there's some leveraging you can do and some things in the businesses and stuff. You know, but you know what? If you're doing all that, you know more about finance than I do. You're probably just using credit to buy things you can't afford. I need a car, so I need a car loan. Who said? $500 cash, you can buy a car. It won't be pretty, but you can buy a car. Let's define greed. Any good definitions of greed out there? Wanting more than I need. There you go. A strong desire for more, an overwhelming desire to have more of something, such as money, than is actually needed. Now that gets interesting. How much do you need? We have families living among us. I do a lot of budgets with people in my benevolence deacon role, right? We have families living among us. They don't look any different. Who are spending about $20 or $30 a week to feed a family of four. We have families among us who have no car payments. We have families among us who live with just one car. We don't need everything we think we need. You think you need two cars till one breaks, and you find out you get by with one car. Or you put the fix on the credit card and you keep two cars and you start paying the man the debt. Okay? What is it that we actually need? Not a whole lot. And I think somebody I know is going to meet all those needs. And he won't need my money to do it. He puts money in the mouths of fishes. He prints his own. Okay? You're worried about how to pay your bills? Worry about something that matters. Worry about getting to heaven. So why is greed bad? We're going to talk a little bit about this. I'm going to lay out a bunch of scriptures, and I will try to fly through these so that I can really finish in 14 more minutes. So catch me later. I need to send the notes from last week to Todd and whoever to get posted on the website anyway, so I'll add these to it. So if you missed something, no big deal. Come catch me. Isaiah 57:17. Why is greed bad? Because God hates it. That's a pretty good reason. Isaiah 57:17. I was enraged by his sinful greed. I punished him and hid my face in anger. And here's the sad part. Yet he kept on in his willful ways. God doesn't like greed. God doesn't like us wanting more than he's already providing us. He's meeting our needs. You know what greed is? It's a lack of faith. I need more because why? Because I need more. It's a security blanket. Remember back earlier? How much money do you need in the bank to feel rich? Whatever you have, it's more than you got. You're never going to have enough money in the bank to feel secure. But if you have a relationship with God, you're already feeling secure. Don't let money become the idol. Don't let the TV commercials tell you what you need. You do not need an iPhone. If you can afford an iPhone, that's awesome. They're pretty cool. I've played with one once, you know, somebody else's. But you do not need an iPhone. You do not need a McDonald's hamburger. We laugh at our kids when they say, McDonald's, they see that golden arch and they want to go, don't they? And then we drive past that BMW and we say, we want that car. The kids are laughing at us. Okay? You don't need what you think you need. Princess Bride fans, you remember, you know, inconceivable. I don't think that word means what you think it means. Need. I don't think that word means what you think it means. Let's get over our big old selves. Let's not sell out to commercialism. Let's not buy the lie. And let's focus on what God gives us. Stop being greedy. Stop trying to get more than you need. Some of you are really struggling to pay basic bills. Sometimes that's because you increased your consumer debt and you have those bills. And talk to me. Let's work through that. Some are really struggling. But an awful lot of us really feel bad about money because we keep trying to buy more than we own. We keep trying to buy more than we need. We keep trying to buy more than we can afford. Not because we really need it. Proverbs. Of course we'll camp in Proverbs because Proverbs has always good stuff, right? Proverbs, you want a good lesson on money? Just read Proverbs. You know? God says some good stuff. Proverbs 15:27. A greedy man brings trouble to his family. And Proverbs 28:25. It's Proverbs 28:25 for those who are scribbling those notes quickly. A greedy man stirs up dissension, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. When you get greedy, you cause trouble. You know I'm deep. You want real financial wisdom? Go to someone like Paul Peeler who does that for a living. You want practical common sense? Here it is. How much do you make? Spend less. Okay. Now, see, there's all the financial wisdom you need to get right through life. If you're greedy for more than you can afford or more than you have or more than you need, you're stirring up dissension. You're causing fights in your family. You're causing fights with your friends. You're stressing yourself. You're going to die younger than you need to. It's just not a good thing, okay? In fact, greed leads to death. Proverbs 1:19, such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. Hope you don't get all that wealth because it'll take away your life. Don't get greedy. Now, that does not mean it's wrong to have anything. Again, it's not sinful to own more TVs than you have people in your house. But I would say it's questionable. You know, one of those TVs might be sold and help fund finishing the building in, where is it they're building? It's Abidjan, thank you. Almost was in Ivory Coast for some reason. Okay. Abidjan. Yeah. You've got these good opportunities to give, but we want more. We feel poor, so we're accumulating our own wealth. Even when you have a small income, you can still be building bigger barns. Maybe you're building smaller, bigger barns, but you're still trying to build bigger barns to store your wealth. Trust God. We'll talk about savings. That's important. It's coming up, future weeks. But don't buy the lie. Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Ooh, I don't like that word. Anyone ever been called a hypocrite? I don't like being called it. Anyway. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and Americanism, self-indulgence. I think it's probably humanism, but, you know, the Americans have more money to do it with. Self-indulgence, greed. I'm taking care of myself, looking out for number one. Richard made a good point. When you start studying the Bible with others, you're happier. When you focus on others, you're happier. That's true with your money too. I don't want you to give away all your money and then come knock on my door and say, "Hey, Mr. Benevolence Deacon, can you write us a check to pay our mortgage?" No, no, no. Take care of your bills. But what are your needs? And then how much more do you have than is really needed? And how do you choose to use that? The reason to get out of debt, we talked about some last week, is so that you have more to give away. That's the reason. Because it feels so good. We have some needs among us. Today, we have some needs among us in this congregation. We have people in the hospital. We have families in distress. We have people who lost jobs. Wouldn't it be great to be the guy who can write the check and say, "Let me help you out"? I suspect most of us in this room would feel really good about that because, you know, giving makes you feel good. We know that. We're disciples. But you can't give when you're broke. You can't give when you're upside down in your car and upside down in your house and upside down in everything else you own and you owe more than you can earn. All it does is beat you down. You're a slave. You're chasing a dream that's on TV and it's not real. Anyway, I made that point, didn't I? I'll go on. Luke 12:15. I like this one. Kind of says it all here. Luke 12:15. Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Comes in different forms. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. God says the bumper sticker is wrong. He who dies with the most toys does not win. Okay? God says otherwise. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Rich people are no happier than poor people. That is true. They actually did studies on that. I heard about a month ago on NPR. You know, rich people are no happier than poor people. In fact, it's kind of hard to find rich people because everyone you talk to isn't rich. Because rich, remember, is double whatever I have. Kind of like my theory with old. Old is older than I am. Avoid growing old, the easy way. Change the definition. Okay. God takes this stuff seriously. You know, greed is right there in the lists of sins. And, you know, we'll preach about some of those sins. Lying. Adultery. Murder. Greed. 1 Corinthians 5:11. We know that one, right? 1 Corinthians 5:11. "But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral." Okay, so far. "Or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man do not even eat." Greed is a great way to look spiritual. We have churches based on greed. Would Jesus wear a Rolex on his television? You know? Worship this way and you too can own fancy cars and mansions. Well, you know, I'm thinking if that were important, Jesus would have had one. That's what I'm thinking. Greed ends in death. Greed is a terrible thing. Now, what's the point of all this? And you know what? I have a lot more scriptures, but you do too. Just pull out your concordance, look up greed, look up idolatry, look up the poor, look up the rich. God's lesson is not hidden here, okay? But what's the point? We need to look at our lives. If we're out there trying to evangelize Gwinnett County, and we are no different, we are just as in debt, just as sold out to the man, just as chasing the American dream, just as much trying to flip this house and get rich or wear those designer clothes or whatever the thing is. What's your message? People are looking at your life. Hi, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. And I want a bigger car. And I want a bigger house. Conspicuous consumption. You know? Now, all of you are in different places here. Got to be honest about this with yourself. Maybe you should ask some of your brothers and sisters, how am I doing with this? How do I come across? Remember point 7 in Greg's 7 steps? Be famous for generosity. It's pretty hard to be famous for giving away when you can't afford to give it away because you've sold yourself out. Be generous. That's what this is about. You do not need the latest designer clothes. If you can afford them and they work within your budget and it's fine. This is not a sin. But you don't need those things. You don't need a $40,000 car. You don't. Nobody needs a $40,000 car. If you can afford it and it's no big deal, that's fine. I would say if you can afford it, that means you're writing a check for cash. Okay? If you have to get a loan to buy it, remember what credit is? It's a way to buy something you can't afford. So I would argue that if you have to get a loan for that $40,000 car, you really can't afford it. I'm a little hard-nosed about this stuff, but you know, I spend a lot of time getting with you and talking about the needs and talking about how to help you get out of debt and how to pay the bills this month. And you know what's eating up most of you? You know, some of you I talk with, frankly, it's hard to make it. The skills, the circumstances, the medical conditions, the whatever. And I don't want to minimize that. But for most of the people I'm talking with, you bought more than you could afford. And now I'm trying to help you get through this month. I don't want to do that. I want to help the people who are desperately in need because they had no choice. Now, I love all of you. I want to, you know, your brothers and sisters give to benevolence. I try to distribute it. Ken Watson and I work with that. He's out of town this week, or he'd be up here with me. We try to help, but we can't help because you chose to sink your own ship. Don't sell out to this stuff. You don't need a Better Homes and Gardens home. It's nice to have a Better Homes and Gardens home, but you don't need it. Be generous first. The reality is we are bought into the American lie. And it's very hard sometimes to step away from that. Whatever income level you're at, Greg Garcia talks about a mom making minimum wage her whole life and leaving hundreds of thousands of dollars to her kids. You can do this. You've got to choose a lifestyle that fits what you can do. So I get passionate about this. I'm out of time, so I'm going to quit there. But let me challenge each one of you. Look at your budget this week. Get with me, get with any of the, there are some brothers here that can do a wonderful job, Phil Dawson, Steve Collier, I don't know, we got a bunch of people here, Ken Watson, of course, when he's back. Get with somebody wise that you respect how they handle money. Get some help. Ask the question and be ready for the answer. Am I buying because of greed? Am I living a greedy lifestyle? Am I trying to live beyond my means? The more you can live below your means, the more you have to give away to others. So let's make that our goal. Let's become famous for our generosity by not being self-indulgent. Thank you.